D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really.
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Places, everyone. Stand by for BS and Beer.
Yeah.
B-boys.
You know what we're waiting for.
B-S and B-boys. I love this book.
That's what we're waiting for. We're back. Entire offseason. I know you missed us, but it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. It's Dave Romero. It's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio. And for the first time, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We got Tyler Kistner working the board for us, making sure everything goes smooth. So don't feel any pressure over there, Tyler.
Oh, none at all.
But from Ruston to Monroe, Farmerville to Jonesboro, we're back on track.
We got the demographics back where it needs to be.
Yep.
Sit back and relax because we're about to do the SEC Sports Pub and 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, BS and Beer style. Man, I tell you, it's exciting. We're ready to go. We're back on the radio. This is where we belong, man. You can tell the... I've got the goosebumps, man.
I didn't even sleep last night.
I know you didn't. And then for whole different reasons.
Yeah.
But I know the people, if word leaked out on the streets that we were back, I know that there are people standing by their radios right now and they turning it up and they just, you know, like, when is it going to be on? And you know how it is? Kind of like when we watch the game
Times
on the
Square
internet.
Times Square is full right now.
On the internet, you know how it said, your game will be shortly and it, we're like, man, it's 7 minutes. It's 3 minutes after the game.
Yeah.
We start getting nervous.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I bet that's how the folks over in Ruston, Monroe, in northern Louisiana, they were getting nervous. They're like, man,
Where are they? The commercial's coming on.
Are you sure? Yeah, they're calling the station.
Yeah. You can feel the tension.
You can feel it. You can feel it. But don't worry. We're back. And listen, we're back, and we're going to be on the rest of the season unless we do something silly, which is entirely possible.
Yeah.
Because for the life of me, I still can't... why they allow us to come on here, and who knows what could happen, especially with Tomas.
What?
Anything could be said. Things can be violated.
See, now,
rules.
I have been so good. I haven't had a rant in a long time. I'm wired for sound.
Are you ready?
I'm ready for a rant, buddy. You know, it's something that I know that the people listening out there are saying, wow, I can't wait for that first
rant.
Well,
that's just part of the package.
Right, right. You know, when Tomas's face gets all... And now you'll be able to see it on the VCAT.
Oh, that's right.
They don't know about that.
No. Okay, now I got to remember how to tell them how to watch it. If you want to actually watch us, you can go to YouTube, and it's BSN Beer.
That's correct.
The letter Media. M. And if you look it up, Saints, BSN Beer, it's going to come
It'll
up.
Come
you
up.
Can actually watch the show. And
subscribe.
Yeah, subscribe to it. Give us that support. And the thing about it is you can actually see how handsome Tomas and Heath really are and Tyler. And you know what? Listen, I have a face for radio. That's why. You know, so I don't hear any criticism.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, action-packed show. Since we're two games into the season.
Into the preseason.
Yeah. Sorry. Thank you. We have a game to talk about last week.
Yep.
I tell you, I would be okay.
Do we?
I'd be okay if we just didn't talk about it at all, but I think it's necessary.
It's necessary.
Because we're going to recap.
Coming up after the break, we'll analyze the Arizona Cardinals. They're the only one that showed up.
Yeah, they showed up. And actually, if you look past some of the stuff, I think we'll find it wasn't as bad as it seemed. You know, I still think that they should take that Drew Brees guy and give him a shot. Because after what I saw at those quarterbacks, they should give Drew a shot. I mean, I know he's long in the tooth. I know he hasn't gotten a snap the entire season. I think they're phasing him out.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know. He'll get a chance to trade in that clipboard one day.
Maybe
his nose to the grindstone.
That's right. He got to keep working. They got to see, kind of like the coaches say,
I think
the
he's
work
looking at the Canadian League at this point because he, you know, he's reading the writing on the wall.
Manziel. I think that there might be a spot for Brees if Manziel keeps playing poorly.
There you go.
So what is it? The Ontario – Atari.
Yeah, he got traded.
Tiger Cats.
No. He's not in Tiger Cats.
I'm just named. That's the only name I know.
No,
Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Oh, okay.
Ontario. Yeah, he got traded, though.
Tigers.
He wasn't with Hamilton either.
No.
But he's,
no.
He's on some Saskatchewan team.
The further
the
we get
riders.
Away,
I think that's what it is.
The
it
further
is.
We get away from Louisiana, as the circle grows, the less my knowledge decreases significantly. Nice. Once you cross the border, it's the wild, wild west.
Nice. Yeah.
All right. So then we have a game that we need to talk about, a preview. The Saints are actually practicing.
Yep.
With the San Diego Chargers this week.
Nope, sorry. Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh, my bad. You see, I told you. Now you're crossing all the way to the other side of the country. Yeah. Time
but you
zones.
Lived out there for a while.
I did live
it's
out there for a while.
The preseason for all of us.
You did. You spent a lot of time out there too,
well,
didn't you?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, getting all bougie, going out there, getting that fancy wine.
Yeah, you know.
Well, okay. Okay.
That's when I had money.
Now
I'm back to Annie Green's.
Now we're begging for Bitcoin, right?
No more begging.
No.
I'm in the process of this. I'm trying to decide which wallet is the best kind of wallet.
I get the leather one. With the cowboy on it that's imprinted on a horse.
You like the Wyoming.
Yeah, cowboy. That one. And you get a matching belt buckle.
Yeah,
with like the white stitching around the edges. Exactly. The big
you know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah,
yeah. No. But there are several different types of Bitcoin wallets.
Velcro. Okay.
Velcro?
Yeah.
Velcro.
Remember the 80s? Yeah, there you go. Velcro,
yeah.
Oh, man. Get some matching shoes.
So, and again... For those of you who are, you know, you're just starting
Kangaroos.
The show for this season, so you're not familiar that we've been talking about during off season.
Yeah.
We've been talking about Bitcoins.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people, they don't understand that it costs money to produce this show.
Oh, yeah, this ain't free.
Yeah. You know, and we've been doing it just out of the love that we have.
Uh-huh. An affection.
But at some point, we're like, dude, who's paying for the gas?
That's right.
You know, and we have, you know, the...
I mean, don't get me wrong. All the donations to Don Bobo all season long. Hold up. Let me get the calculator out.
Hold on.
Yeah, that's zero.
Where's
it's exactly zero. But, Don Bobo, we got. Listen.
What happened to Don Bobo?
All the stuff, all the money, everything.
See,
he's
out of shape now.
Yeah,
I'm
looking for it.
Can't remember where. My glasses so you can see where it is.
It's got to be.
It's
there it is.
Preseason for all of us.
There we go. All right.
Now I can go to my regular voice. Don Bobo.
Don Bobo.
Now we're good.
Send your tides in, and all kind of stuff happens. Guys don't get injured. We win games. Look at what happened last year.
We don't want high tides or low tides, okay? So don't send those in.
Listen. Last year, you can make jokes, but last year, the Saints were 0-2 when we introduced Don Bobo, and we went on a run.
Mm-hmm.
We went on a run.
So now we've got Bobo back in there.
Right. So now what we're doing is we're collecting Bitcoin for Don
Bobo.
But
the wallet's not up yet because there's so many possibilities, and so I was like, let me study them a little bit for security reasons. Some are easier, some are harder. Some of you have to download a lot of the blockchain in order for it to work. Those of you who understand Bitcoin.
You lost me.
Yeah. But that's okay. I'm going to get it up. See, he's going, yep, I know exactly what that is.
I think we should just keep it simple. Just send your check for Bitcoin to our GoFund, my PayPal, me account. Just mail it in. I like all the stuff he's talking, that's great. I'm going to get the little wallet with the Velcro. And the stitching.
Tyler, give me the exchange
and
rate
the cowboy
for today, by the way.
Yeah, we're going to need the exchange rate for the Bitcoin.
And the Velcro kangaroo shoes.
$6,400?
$6,400. For a Bitcoin.
So you're asking for 0.0031.
All right, so there it is. That's what we're looking for. You know, we do 2 hours, but we're going to do a third hour. And that third hour is a subscription hour.
Yeah.
And for a mere 0.0031.
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin, you too can have that subscription every week. You get that extra, and the extra hour is going to be jam-packed.
Well, because last week we actually got Heath to agree that he would take his shirt off and catch himself on fire and run through the parking lot for one whole Bitcoin.
One whole Bitcoin.
Now, listen, that's a lot. I think they had to exchange.
Oh, rates. No. Now, it was at 10 grand back then.
Oh,
that
no,
was down to $600.
Two
Bitcoin. That's off. Yeah,
so I'm going to need some people to kick in with me because I can't cover that whole two Bitcoin. But yeah. I got to see that. I think that'd be good stuff.
$13,000 gets it done.
All right. Did I mention to you that the Saints had some cuts today?
I mentioned it to you, but go ahead.
Well, okay. Well, I didn't mention to the people. And then we also need to talk about the Pick'em League. Every year we have a Pick'em League. We like getting all you guys involved.
Absolutely.
And if there's a way that we can get everybody involved, we're going to do it again. Matter of fact, in addition to that, I want to do, and I'm not sure how yet, and I probably should have done some research, but you guys know that wasn't going to happen when we first started talking about this.
Yeah.
If we can figure out, maybe somebody can send us an email to our email account.
And what's that account?
It's bsandbeer@icloud.com.
Or they can actually just send you a little note via the...
I tell you what, when we come back from the break, We're going to talk a little bit about that and see if some people can give us some advice
on
some fantasy leagues that everybody can play in. So, hey, we're back. We're excited. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast. We ready to rock and roll.
Yes, sir. You know, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking us for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, we don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, fellas, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. Visit MyBookie online. That's MyBookie. And don't forget, you play, you win, you get paid.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. Now back to your two yats and a coon ass.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew broadcasting and mass communicating. To my right, Heath Elson-San. To my left, Tomas Mauricio. Tyler Kistner's running the board. I'm Dave Romero, and I'm your host. And, man, it's wall-to-wall Saints talk. All right.
The first thing that we need to do is a review of the I don't know if I want to spend all the time, particularly on our last game against the Cardinals. But let's kind of review training camp for all those who are like tuning in. It's the first week that the BS and Beer Boys are on the radio, and there might be a lot of guys up in northern Louisiana that want to get caught up on everything. So the first thing, I think that expectations are high. I think that most everyone, from the local media to the to the national media, think that the Saints have a chance to contend for a Super Bowl title this year. So high expectations. The team is loaded with talent, and it has been an exciting preseason so far based on the reports. There's some young guys that were good last year, really good, maybe borderline Pro Bowl players, who are now taking the next step. And there's some guys, some veterans. We brought in some guys. And quite frankly, it just looks like all the pieces of the puzzle are coming together.
Somewhat.
Okay.
Somewhat. Now, I have to say that I know, as is usual, many of us in New Orleans are expecting a Super Bowl. Okay. But you leave New Orleans, and there are plenty of people who think that Atlanta is the hot team in the NFC South. We hear a lot of people talk about, well, you know, it's the Eagles and the Rams and Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm happy. I'm happy because I want us under the radar. You know, I want, just like what happened last time. Well, you know, the Saints are 6-0. Oh, you know, the Saints are 9-0. Dang, you know, the Saints are 12-0. Right. I want to just go right underneath everybody. No big deal. Keep talking about little Tommy Brady. I'm good. You know, keep talking about the helmet rule. I'm good. You know, and let's see where we go. But you're right, Dave. With the exception of a couple of positions, we're looking awfully good. Awfully good.
Well, I think one of the things that's a little bit misleading, Heath, is that the Saints offense, when we went to the Super Bowl in 2009, in the preseason, I think we looked a lot sharper than we did. But one of the things that's really misleading is Drew Brees has yet to play a snap in preseason.
It's a different game.
And so, for instance, let's just take this game against the Cardinals of just a few days ago. The Saints moved the ball with Taysom Hill, who's an inexperienced running quarterback who's still learning not only the Saints offense, but still learning how to play quarterback in the NFL. And the Saints moved the ball. They ran the ball, completed a few passes, and it actually at times – look like, man, look what's going on here, even with the backup quarterback in.
Yeah.
But then it's the big mistake.
Right.
That all of a sudden the wheels come off the wagon and all of a sudden you can't win making those types of mistakes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, it was looking good. You know, he was moving the ball. But, man. Now, a couple of them, I'll say this. I mean, the first interception was a tip.
Right.
And that's one of those, it's hard to say, you know, was the ball where it was supposed to have been before it got tipped? Was that his response? Blah, blah, blah. And then he also got blindsided from the backside and lost the ball one time.
Right.
It's hard to blame a quarterback on that when you don't even see anybody coming and he's just getting killed out there.
Right, right.
But I mean, he had the one time where he just literally dropped the ball.
Fumbled the ball, like bobbled it.
It's rare when a quarterback, the issue is not the passing, it's actually the handing off or the holding on to the ball. Well, you know?
It was very Aaron Brooks-esque.
Yeah.
It kind of brought back memories of just the silly mistakes that Aaron Brooks, and I'm not an Aaron Brooks hater. I thought Aaron Brooks was a good quarterback, and at the time, one of the better quarterbacks to ever play for the Saints. And I know that's an unpopular opinion.
He was for a time, you know.
But he would always be prone to making the dumb mistake. Just like you said, take a hand off and you go to fake the and the ball pops up in the air and you just can't win making those kind of mistakes.
Yeah.
But now one of the things you mentioned was that that interception. And while I'm not trying to put all the blame on the quarterback, it hit our new wide receiver Cameron Meredith in the hands.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But the thing that I would say is that, man, if he would have just taken some time to look off the receiver, maybe there wouldn't have been three defenders there. If you notice, Ben Watson was right by him.
Yeah.
I think that was one of those situations where either someone ran the wrong route, Taysom Hill's just staring down the receivers, drawing the entire defense, and when that ball goes up in the air, there's three defenders there to pick it off. So
it's
one of those things where, again, not trying to put all the blame on him, but having said that, you'd be surprised the subtle things that make things go from bad to worse. And some of them are just staring down receivers, and he does a lot of it. I saw a couple of good things where he looked receivers off. He ran the ball. Man, you just see, we hear about his athleticism. Yeah. There was one play where he ran for, I mean, it had to be about 30 yards. And the defender, and it was a defensive back, had the angle on him and just completely lost the angle.
Yeah,
had no idea how fast Taysom Hill was. So raw ability, I'm still not ready to give up on him, because he does offer something in the way of special teams. I mean, where do you find a quarterback that also one of your better coverage guys on special teams?
So it's rare.
That's going to give him some additional time, right? He's going to have some time to sit on the roster and continue to develop his skills as a quarterback, because he offers something else on the team.
Yeah, and if he continues to hold the ball, it's going to be exciting on potential fake situations, or even if it's just a bobbled.
But
you know, once he gets up with his legs, I mean, he has the kind of ability to.
And he's a strong guy. He's like 225 pounds, so it's not just fast.
Yeah.
You know, RG3, and I use him as an example because he was a athletic quarterback that ran. And the thing about it is, when he finally got caught, it was ugly. I mean, just literally the way his body just got ripped around, and boom.
Yeah.
Where Taysom Hill, he put his shoulder down a couple of times, and you're not just going to manhandle him.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I go back to the four turnovers that happened under Hill. Two fumbles and two interceptions. One was Meredith should have had that ball. There's no excuse. I don't care if it was close coverage or not. He put the ball where Meredith could have caught it.
Sure.
So that's on Meredith. The other interception, coach has said that Ginn ran the wrong route. So, again, if you're throwing a timing pass, expecting the receiver to be someplace and then they turn out instead of in or vice versa, that's really not on the quarterback. That's on the receiver. Now, the two fumbles, yeah, he got hit hard on one of them, but that's still not an excuse. You had to be able to hold on to the ball. And the second fumble was just, there's no excuse for it, you know. Now, I have heard that one of the things people are saying is that he's got small hands for a quarterback, and that's a possibility. And another thing that I heard that I had to laugh about, somebody asked him about if he used suntan lotion, if he used some sunscreen protection, you know, when he's out there doing all. And he said, oh, yeah, I put that sunscreen on. And so some people are like, well, maybe he had sunscreen on his hands, or the ball touched his arms and got some sunscreen on it. And
he's using sunscreen in a dome?
Well, that's why those I lights about it, because it was like, really, we're inside now, we're not outside.
You know, I would think if I'm a quarterback, too, and somebody and I had, like, all those fumbles and those things happening, like, did you have some suntan? I'm like,
oh my God.
Now that I think about it, problem solved, coach. You don't have to worry about it next week. Give me another shot.
Anyway, I just, you know, now I would say this to you. I think that overall, I thought he played, I hear a lot of people just saying, well, the experiment is over. I don't think so.
No.
I mean,
no,
I looked at it. He had good foundation. His feet were in the right place. As you said, when he took off, there wasn't going to be too many people going to catch him when he took off. So you have to incorporate that into his game plan. You know, if you put him in there and you say, okay, you're going to run Drew Brees' offensive game plan, well, that's not going to work. Okay. It'll work to some degree, but not really. That's not his game.
No, so, it's not a lot of people's game.
Right.
It wouldn't just be him.
Exactly. So when you see him be able to escape and give you some extra time, Great, fantastic. But now, let's not get our hopes up too high, because I watched the Cleveland Browns, mm-hmm. and I watched Baker Mayfield. Okay. There's a difference between a guy who is going to be a pro and a guy who, you know, he might be an okay second string guy.
You know right. You never know. Like, listen, you just never know what's going to happen. But I agree with you, because what's funny is, you know, it's a change in whatever when you can say, man, I want to watch that Browns game, man. And I swear,
yeah.
all preseason, I was kind of looking forward to it. Yeah. And like, maybe not at first, and I heard all these different things going on. And I'm like, well, you know, and it was one of the games that the NFL Network highlighted in the first week of the preseason. And Baker Mayfield did a few things, and I'm all like, man, I'm check. Week two, I was looking, when does that game come on? So, hey, it's good when you have teams that historically you have no interest in watching.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, you're like, a little interest in it. And, golly, who doesn't feel for the Browns? Who doesn't feel for the Browns? Like, the Browns are just a team. You can't be mad at them. You can't hate them. There's just nothing there except for, man, I hope to see him do something.
Well, you know that there's a very famous Browns fan. He's been a Browns fan all his life. And he passed away. And they read his last will and testament. And he said, you know, I want to make sure that for my pallbearers that we have many of these Cleveland Brown players, because, you know, I'm a big Cleveland Browns fan. So the day of the funeral comes along, and the pallbearers are there. And sure enough, there's a bunch of Cleveland Brown players that are there. And they're like, man, this is great. This guy's been a fan all his life and everything. We appreciate it, you know. But we just can't figure out why he wanted us to be pallbearers. And somebody came by and said, well, he told me why. He said he wanted to be let down one more time by the Browns.
There you go.
All right.
Boom, boom.
There you go.
All right. The crowd enjoyed that.
Okay.
So, okay. Well, yeah.
Not the joke I told you that I had.
No, you told me I had a joke, and I was going to interrupt. I got caught up in all the excitement.
That's okay. That's
all
right.
The pageantry of the
I'll save it for another time.
Yeah, yeah. I missed it. But, no, you keep that joke. Write it down. Make sure you don't forget it.
No, I probably will.
I mean, we do have 2 hours, so maybe an hour or two.
Maybe get back to it later.
Yeah, we can never know. So, okay. So a couple other things that I thought while...
Well, wait, hold on before you leave the quarterback thing.
Uh-huh.
I would tell you that if you thought Hill was not good, what would you consider Savage's performance?
Well, okay, I thought Savage, I didn't think he played very well. I mean, he's playing again with a ton of backups. Having said that, he didn't turn the ball over as many times as Hill did. I mean, Hill turned the ball over on almost. Listen,
well, later
I didn't,
when we talk about the final 53, I might shock you with something I said.
Uh-oh, okay. So a little bit later, when we come back after this break,
yes.
we're going to start going over. Let's do offense first.
Okay, all right.
And we'll go over the offense, and in the second hour, we're going to go over the defense and just kind of give you an update of all these new names and all these new people. Who some are making plays, some are kind of making you think that they might be able to contribute this year.
Yes,
and some, you know, we may not see him. There's already been a couple of cuts. But,
realize that I didn't put this paper together this time.
So
this is 78 players that he put together.
A call to action. If anybody knows a fantasy league out there where, like, as many people as you want can play. In other words, I've done fantasy leagues where it might end up that me and Tomas have the exact same starting lineup 1 or 2 weeks out of the year.
Because we always want to pick the same Saints.
Right, you know, but if anybody knows something, like, Tyler, would you say, like, was it FanDuel or?
FanDuel and DraftKings.
Yeah, but those can you do
money.
Free leagues and stuff like that?
No. I'm not sure about that. I haven't ever done them.
Okay, yeah. Well, I tell you what. We'll check into that if anybody knows. Because
they can either drop us an email or they can call.
Oh, call us on the hotline. 701-901-1295.
There you go.
Call us after the game. Let us know your thoughts. Put you on the show. Hear what you have to say. Another thing, you know, I'm not a big gambler, but I've been doing this MyBookie thing.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
It's fun, man. I'm not a big gambler. I like to do just enough to keep me interested in a bunch of the games.
Yeah.
And great site.
I understand. That was pretty good.
Great site. Great place to, if you just want to put down some bets. And you can put small ones, big ones, and there's all kinds of stuff.
You might want to check that out.
Check that out. Yeah. It's a cool place to throw down some bets. Let's see. When we come back, we're going to talk offense, right?
Yes.
We had a couple of cuts today. I think it's important. Terrence West, he was a guy that some thought that he might have a chance.
Yeah.
No. No, you know, no, you didn't think he had a chance?
No.
I thought he had a chance to.
I thought the receiver had more of a chance than he did. Tell you the
truth. Early on, I thought he had a chance, but it started to become apparent.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I should say that because, you know, he played for Baltimore. He was known as a bruiser. He was a guy that, like, I don't
but
think
he went
that
from
you
being a bruiser to being a plotter, and I think that's what happened.
You know, and this is the thing is, you need 3 yards to get you 3 yards. You need 4 yards to get you 3 yards. You know, yeah, I like that. Right, but exactly. The thing about it is, I guess that's the best way to say it, is when we signed him, he played for the Ravens, and he was a solid ball player. He had injury concerns, and a lot of that from doing some research is because he runs the ball so aggressively that, you know, but I'm thinking, hey, if Mark Ingram, who's suspended for the first four games, who's going to be the guy to step in? And well, if you need somebody to run between the tackles, I thought he might be a good candidate. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. He got released on Tuesday.
Yep.
And so did, was his name Huff?
Huff, the wide receiver.
A wide receiver. Did you think that he had a chance?
When we signed him originally, I thought, but no.
He's done some good things, but, man, it's a real numbers game at wide receiver. And really a lot of the positions on his team this year.
Matter of fact, one of the things that the rumor, and I shouldn't say rumor. I'm just saying the internet scuttlebutt. Maybe that's a better way to say it.
Your sources, your unknown sources, unnamed sources.
Yeah, my unknown and unnamed sources.
Unqualified.
Yeah, sources. No, just reading the internet. There are people starting to momentum, and I'm not saying I agree with it, and I kind of don't. But Ted Ginn Jr., the people are starting to speculate that he might not make it. I honestly think it's ridiculous, but I think it's worth
They're reading my notes. You know, they're reading all my notes.
That's what it is. Got exposed a little bit.
The unknown, unqualified source.
Unknown, non-existent sources have said. No, but it's interesting to read all these different opinions, see what people are talking about. I don't see how it happens. I can't see. Ted Ginn, the speed, he only has 1 year left. I don't know if there's anybody. We have some good depth right now, but I don't know if there's anybody left out there that you would say, man, we have to have this guy so much that Ted Ginn Jr. doesn't get to play. So I don't know. Hey, anyway, hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to be talking offense, see what's going on in camp.
Yep.
Ah, monsieur, I talked to you about the BS and Beer. It's all very natural, no? Ah, sure, Mr. Internet Man. You listen to other podcasts, but not so good, no? Enough. You listen to BS and Beer. Or a bon ton all over your face.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free. The BS and Beer Podcast.
Wait a minute. What do you mean, talent-free?
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Listen. It's Heath Elson-San. It's Tomas Mauricio. I'm Dave Romero on the board. Tyler Kistner working the show for you. Listen, we having fun with this. I mean, you get back. We had to rein it in a little bit during the off season. We're just the podcast. We're not on the radio. You guys out of control. I had to add this.
Keep order here. Keep order, I said.
I have to use that just to keep him in line.
How well did it work out for him?
It didn't work. Oh, yeah. Didn't he end up shooting himself?
No, it was the other guy.
No, there was a guy from the Titanic. I think he did, man.
Him, though.
No?
It was the other guy, I think.
If you're feeling romantic, you go watch some Titanic. You'll find out. But I think it was him.
Don't bother.
No, I think it was him.
It's not that romantic.
No, it's not that romantic. All right, so let's get to it. Let's do some Saints talk. We're going to review the off-season, the offense in particular, and right off the bat, we talked a little bit about Drew Brees, the backup quarterback situation. Drew Brees hasn't taken a snap. You have Tom Savage, Taysom Hill, the athlete, the young guy, the raw guy. You also have JT Barrett, who's also a rookie. Well, I don't know. Taysom Hill's not a rookie, but he is a rookie, and he's gotten a few snaps, and I don't know. At this point, I don't know if he has a better chance.
At this point, I would say to you that Barrett has almost as many snaps total as Hill has between last year and this year.
Huh. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Because he didn't have but a few snaps with Green Bay. It wasn't like he played an extended amount of time with
Green Bay. No, not even in the preseason. I'm sure that he's probably...
Well, he was cut at the end of preseason. That's when the Saints picked him up.
Right.
So, okay.
So, where we're left with right now is Tom Savage is your number two guy.
According to you.
I think according to most people, maybe not you.
I'm not most people.
But I think that right now, the other thing is saying that makes me a little nauseous, a little queasy.
No, I don't.
But I think that maybe there might be some consideration maybe of bringing somebody in if this doesn't work.
So you're one of those guys who thinks that you should pick up Bridgewater. That's what I'm hearing from you.
I didn't say Bridgewater. I'm just saying somebody.
Somebody.
Well, I mean,
like,
you know.
Like, okay, so.
So you're thinking about maybe making an offer to Tebow.
Tebow.
That's more, yeah. Man.
Well, you said somebody. I'm just, you know.
We can go, up to Canada and get your boy.
Yeah, Johnny.
Johnny football.
Johnny Paycheck.
Johnny Paycheck.
Yeah, well, he's not worth the paycheck.
One way or another, we get somebody.
Well, you're saying what a lot of people are saying, which is that maybe the second string quarterback isn't on the team at this point.
Yes.
That perhaps there is some other player out there.
If you're going to cut it down to the bare nuts of it, yeah, that's
you know, there may be some other player that either we can get for a relatively cheap price or might actually even be cut that might be better than what we have. That's what you're saying. I disagree. But that's what you're saying.
Okay, just tell everybody what I'm saying, then go ahead and tell them what you're saying.
Well, that's the way I look at it. Look, the only way that I can stay on top is I let everybody know what you're thinking.
Okay.
You see? Right. And then you can just agree.
Okay, I agree with you. I agree with that's
see,
what I'm saying.
We just
saved ourselves a lot of time.
Yeah, that's right. Now there are possibilities. I mean, I would agree with you that there's a possibility that maybe the second string guy isn't on our team right now. I just don't think that's the truth. And I would go a step further and say to you that although most people are saying, I've seen a number of people already with their, you know, 2 weeks in, and I can tell you what the final roster is going to be. You know, which I actually have right here.
Okay.
But my own version.
Top secret.
Yeah.
But there are some people who are saying that, just like you, Savage number two, Hill number three, and we're going to go with that. Now, I'm going to say to you that I have another one, another possibility, because we need numbers at other positions.
Okay.
I think we have some much better players at other positions that I don't think we should cut. But if we keep three quarterbacks, we'd have to. Now, I'm going to tell you this. From what I've seen so far, if we lose Drew Brees, ain't going to make a hell of a difference if it's either Savage or Hill.
This is just a matter of what's more fun.
That's right. And to me, what's more fun is Hill. So, therefore, I would say to you, don't be surprised if the Saints go with only two quarterbacks and it's Brees and Hill.
Programs. Get your programs. Can't tell the players from the coaches without a program.
Well, extra. Read all about it.
I'm just giving you possibilities. That would free up one space, which then could be used for another position that we have some really good players that we don't want to, you know,
see,
put out.
Okay, I'm looking at it like this. I don't think we have a backup quarterback on the roster that, okay, the whole point of having a backup quarterback is, hypothetically, if you need a four-game stretch, can the guy come in and win two games?
Okay.
I don't think we have a two-game winner.
So you're saying you think that Chase Daniel could have done that last year?
No.
I'm not saying that. So thank you for putting those words. What we're going to do is let you have the microphone. I'm just going to email some things in. You tell me what I want to say.
I think we're saying it's been several years since we could say that.
I mean. Agree.
A
Billy Joe, man. It had to be a Billy Joe. I mean, I'm not sure which one, but.
When was Mark Brunell here? Was he the last guy that we had that was a competent?
Won the Super Bowl.
Could he have won two games?
He was the
games?
Backup for the
I
Super
think
Bowl.
He could have possibly won two games. I think he's
with
the last
roster,
guy that
right.
I, yeah, that I it, could say.
And that's the thing you have to take into consideration, too. If your roster is good as you think it is, then you should be able to win. And again, it depends on the schedule. You know, if you have your murder's row of playoff teams, you know. But generally speaking, if you play in a decent – you know, and
we
you play
have
at home
one of the hardest schedules.
I get
year.
It. So it's not making my point. It's just not fair to say, oh, well, he went 0-4, but you played against the, you know, four top seeds in the league.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm just saying that right now, I don't know if I would trust Tom Savage to win two out of four games. And I'm just going to assume that all the games we're playing are going to be against average teams that on any given day could beat us. And I don't know who that is, but, you know. So can Tom Savage do it? I don't think so. I don't think Hill can either, and mainly because from what I saw, and I am not ready to give up on him. He just looks – he needs to shake these mistakes. The mistake-prone stuff will kill you every time. You have to be able to – my high school coach used to say, thumb so thimple as a thinner snap. You got to get the center snap. You have to get the center snap down, man. You can't fumble the snap. You can't deep snap a ball over the punter's head. You can't mistakes.
That wasn't even the center.
That's what he'd say, though. But at no point do I recall the quarterback bobbling the ball and throwing the air. He just said something like, you can't throw the ball up in the air and thimple it, you know, something like that. I'm not sure.
I'm just saying to you that you're making my point for me.
Well,
if you don't think that Savage can win one out of four games, given just an average schedule, not picking the top team.
Just you have to kind of come up with something.
You think maybe he might win one out of four. Okay. I'm saying to you that Hill could win one out of four.
Okay.
Mm. And so, therefore, if I'm thinking that Hill can win one out of four, then I'd rather go with Hill. I already saw Savage play with Houston. Well, the Texans. I don't know what they call themselves, right? The Texans? Yeah. Sorry. So, hey, well, it used to be the Houston Oilers. Or whatever. Yeah. Okay. So, the Texans, right?
Or as so, they say in New Orleans, the Earlers.
The Earlers, right. Yeah. Okay. So, I've seen him play. He didn't look that good to me. Okay? And so, if you're saying, like, I know you like this. Dave
now, Savage
says,
looked pretty decent the first preseason game.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
He had a couple of scoring drives. I mean, you know, he looked competent.
Yeah, competent. Yeah.
So far, I can't say but that I've seen Hill look competent. In, well, it doesn't matter. Hill played against a bunch. I mean, he just.
I'm just saying to you that in the season itself, and we're all entitled to our opinions. You know, opinions are like, you know, elbows. Everybody's got a couple. See, I cleaned that up. So, I'm just looking for a button to push.
Hold on.
Keep order, Hill. Keep order, I said.
It's getting off the rails.
Now, let's just remember, okay?
Hand him the pistol.
We still have... I'll have to my car and get it. We still have two more preseason games.
Right.
Okay, so let's not put the cart before the horse, okay? We're not like, today is not cut day. Okay? Right. So,
well, it was for some guys.
Well, for a few, yeah. Yeah. Well, and it should have probably been for a few more based on what I saw on the film.
Yeah. Right.
But I'm just saying to you, when it comes to quarterback, let's be serious. The NFL today is set up to be a quarterback-driven league. But because of the money involved, it's very hard to find any team that has a competent second stringer.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, if you go down the line.
I agree with you. The exception is a team that has a quarterback that can come in and win two or three out of four games. Yeah. Okay. That is the exception
now,
in a lot of cases.
Nick Foles, if people are going to bring that up, you might recall that he played for Philadelphia and was 9-1.
No, and that's the thing.
So
that's
a different story altogether.
He's an exception. I mean, like, the same thing with the kid in Minnesota. You know, these are guys who have played and have had success, even though you wouldn't want them. If you were going into a season, you wouldn't want them as your starting quarterback.
Right.
But if they're your backup and they had to come in, they've actually won games in the league and they've gotten hot before. They've ripped off three or four or five or eight. You know, so it's those guys are the exception. If you look around and look at the rosters, teams can't field one starting quarterback, much less have a backup guy that can win too.
Yeah.
So listen,
and any of those other guys you're talking about were higher draft picks. I mean, the Saints haven't invested anything in draft picks, really.
Outside of a third rounder in Grayson.
Grayson.
So.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on. We spent entirely too much time on quarterback, and obviously it's because it's the biggest deficiency. Yeah. As backup quarterback, obviously.
RG3.
So let's go ahead and move to running back, because the next interesting thing is the fact that Mark Ingram.
Oh, I didn't think that was the interesting thing. I thought the interesting thing was that your fellow poor boy buddy got signed with the Washington Redskins.
My good friend, Adrian Peterson,
BFF,
who I shared, broke bread with.
Yeah.
Shared. I don't know what else.
Shared meaning I bought his poor boy for him.
Yeah.
And he still ain't called me. He still ain't called me. No, man, I'm waiting for
him. Well, now he's with the Redskins.
Yeah, so maybe he's just been waiting to get back on his feet before he calls
me. Yeah.
You know, sometimes you're embarrassed.
It's been tough, you know. Yeah.
So, okay. So we had a cut today with Terrence West.
Yes.
Jonathan Williams looked pretty good in the preseason.
Yeah.
I mean, is he the guy?
I think he is the guy. Yeah. I mean, you know, they brought him in last year. They obviously saw something they really liked in him. And so far through training camp and what we've seen in preseason, he's living up to that. You know?
Right.
And
he looks smooth, you know. I mean, I'm not expecting Mark Ingram, but Tomas, I mean, four games. Can he come in and make the difference? Can he keep us on pace?
Yes, I think so. I think the Saints were worried first because that's why they brought in West and Vereen and whatever else.
Yeah.
But I think now as you watch just two games and you watch all of the workouts.
All right. Hold on to that thought. We're going to come back after the break and we're going to talk a little bit more. We got to hit on these things other than quarterback. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. BS and Beer Podcast Crew will be right back.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. Yep. Yeah. I can't get a word in edgeways. Talk, talk, talk.
Well, it's your old buddy Chef Pierre Gautreaux. Y'all gather around the radio and we're going to listen to some BS and Beer Podcast. Ooh, ça c'est bon. That's a good show, yeah.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Dog.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew.
Tell me what
Listen, having a good time talking Saints football, hour number one. We've already talked a little bit, not a little bit. We talked way too much about the quarterbacks. We were just starting to get into the running backs. Tomas, did you want to finish up a thought on Mark Ingram? Or are you ready to talk about Shane Vereen? What about Boston Scott? Ooh, Boston Scott.
Now we're talking. Now we're talking. That's
our new segment. We got to come up with some. We got to get us a plug for it and all this different stuff.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna say this. Look.
That's Tomas's guy, by the way. All you guys in Northern Louisiana. Yeah. Tomas, this isn't fake. It's not. Yeah. That's his dude. Yeah. He is. Yeah. Excited about him.
Very, very much so. But I was, and again, I think this is why they brought in West and Vereen, because they weren't sure what they had. Now they're sure what they have. He's special team, contributed in special teams, no problem. We found our guy for kickoff, and we found our guy for punt. We've addressed a major issue on this team, with Boston Scott being one of those contributors. And I think that as time passes, he'll do much better. One of the things that Drew said about Williams was that he's very good at blocking. So that tells you right there, when Drew mentioned that in one of the interviews, that tells me that
he feels
Drew
safe.
That he feels fine. Hey, you know, put him in, I'm okay. I'm not going to worry about getting run over.
A little pass pro, making sure that what happened to Taysom Hill, you mentioned it, Heath.
Exactly.
Gets drilled in the back, fumbles the ball for his seventh fumble of the game.
So, again, I think that Boston Scott over time will be able to pick up that same ability to block. Remember, it took Ingram 2 years to be able to do all the things that he'd be able to do, So I think Boston Scott will be on a very much shorter table. But I see really good things at running back. I think the guys that we have look good, and later I'll tell you the ones I'm saving and ones that are going.
All right. Go ahead. Well, right now, Heath, I'm going to bring up what in the offseason I thought was I didn't care for the way the Saints handled the position. They didn't bring in I'm sure they tried.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to talk to Coach yet. I should go ahead and text him and just ask him what the hell you were thinking. They didn't get a tight end.
We're talking about tight end.
Yeah, we're talking about tight end. Well, I mean, right now, all of us are sitting here trying to figure out a way where undrafted free agents are going to be difference makers, and they're raw, they're inexperienced. One of the guys we have in Hooman is been injured almost the entire preseason.
Yeah.
Josh Hill's steady Eddie. He's not great, but he can contribute. After that, man, it's just a bag of guys.
Yeah. I think it came down to what was available and what it was going to cost them. And, it wasn't a good market for tight ends. We tried to get Jimmy Graham, apparently.
Right.
That didn't work out.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, you're in a stratosphere when you're talking about money. And then you had guy Ebron, he was highly inconsistent. He got way more money than he should have ever gotten.
Yeah. The tight ends did get a lot of money.
You know, now if you look at Ben Watson, if you look at the numbers that he put up in Baltimore last year, and we're talking about Baltimore and Joe Flacco, you know what I mean?
My practice.
So I know he's another year older, and he's getting up there, but if he can come back in and at least just do that, that's an upgrade over what we had at tight end last year.
I don't pride myself in watching a lot of Baltimore Ravens football, but because of necessity, I had guys on their offense on my fantasy team.
Yeah.
Kind of forced you to watch the game, and it was horrid.
Yeah.
Now, the offense was just putrid. I mean, couldn't move the ball, couldn't complete a pass. It was just Flacco.
Yeah, but I mean, Watson had what?
No, in spite of all
around
that,
50 that's catches and, that's and where I'm going eight with this. Touchdowns or yeah, something like
that's
that?
That's where I'm going with this. I'm watching Flacco, and I'm how he ever was considered, and I get it. He won the Super Bowl, and I'm sure it's partial
Trent
obligation.
Delpho won the Super Bowl.
You know, and they gave him this huge contract, and the guy was never – a very good quarterback. I mean, I'm not saying he's bad, but he's like a poor man's Matt Ryan, which I think Matt Ryan's a solid quarterback, but he's not great either. So I agree. The point is that if Ben Watson can hold it down for another season, it'll make the position.
If he can be the guy he was in Baltimore last year in this offense with Drew Brees, he is going to give us more than maybe we've had in the last 2 years at tight end with the Saints. Yes, it's the last time he was here.
I agree with you. Some young guys, Dan Arnold, looks like a guy that might have a future. But he's so small.
He's got to bulk up.
He's got
to bulk
up. He's like a wide receiver that's just kind of a big wide receiver.
Yeah.
He'd get killed. Another guy is Deion Yelder.
He's
and he has talent, but –
none of these guys are going to be
no.
able to help this year. So we're going into this thing pretty much with
Watson.
Watson and I'm
Hill.
I'm thinking of Hill, and I think Hill will be a contributor. I think he's a solid all around. He's a good blocker. He's a good pass catcher. But man, you talking about razor thin depth.
Yeah.
And nothing behind them.
And we got this kid, the kid from, where did he come from, Air Force?
That's my guy, who I think is going to be the third guy.
He's been around for, what, Garrett. A couple of years? Or 3 years, maybe, huh? Well, he's been around.
No, I think this is his second year.
Second?
Right? Last year was his rookie year.
Yeah.
Okay. And because they weren't sure he was going to be able to play because of his commitment to the Air Force, but he worked everything out. And so this will be his second year, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And I really believe that he is a guy that will contribute more than the rest of them. Yelder... A lot of talk about him and so forth, but he's a long way away from being there. They did pick up Phillips again, who they had last year, who's a veteran, but he's not going to really give you anything.
He'll be on the other end of the line if we need him.
Hooman, the injury's finally caught up with Hooman. I just don't think he's going to contribute. So, yeah, we're thin, but I really think that between Watson stepping up to play what he did before and Hill being there and that experience that Watson's going to pass on to Hill and to this kid, Garrett, I think we'll be okay. Arnold, I see as a developmental guy, and so I see him on the practice squad. Right. And maybe next year, if he gains 20 pounds of muscles, you know, and makes sure he eats three bowls of gumbo every day.
Right. Yeah, well, he's in the right city today.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so moving along, one of the names I think people are going to want to look out for, Tre'Quan Smith.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
He's third-round draft pick. The kid, all we're hearing about him, I want to compare him not physically, but the buzz, similar to Michael Thomas when he came out his rookie year. Like, man, that second round draft pick, Michael Thomas, he's catching everything and he's making plays and he's strong and he's well. Tre'Quan Smith has come out in practice and he's not really the same type of receiver. He's more of a deep guy, but he's also an intermediate guy. He's a guy that can be a little bit of both. He's not a Ted Ginn who's really you just want to keep him on outside. He can run the entire route tree and he has the body to do it. The guy can potentially develop into a real asset for this offense.
Yeah. I mean, I remember it was one of the draft gurus during the draft. It was already calling him one of the, you know, steal of the draft.
I remember
there were
that
a lot
too.
Of people that thought he would, you know, thought he was better and would have gone higher. And, you know, look, it's certainly not going to help or hurt for him to be in camp with Michael Thomas, who has a almost as ridiculous a work ethic, what we're hearing is Drew Brees does. I mean,
he's another guy who's going to take another step. Tomas, who else in the wide receiver core do you look to be either someone who's going to probably make a difference or someone who's probably going to fade out and maybe we won't hear from him?
Okay, I'll give you one of each one.
Okay.
I have a concern for Cameron Meredith.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Now, I'm going to tell you what my concern is. So far, I haven't seen anything from him that makes me think that he's the number two receiver. At this point, if I had to say who was the number two receiver, it'd be Tre'Quan Smith.
Right.
I put Michael Thomas at one and Smith at two as far as ranking my receiver. Now, I according to what I see, I'm trying to find there's a guy who I think has made a lot of progress during the training camp, and I think he's caught a lot of people's attention. That's Kirkwood.
Right.
Now, I think we keep Ginn simply as a mentor. If he only has one more year in his contract, we could possibly keep him, and he could mentor someone like Tre'Quan Smith.
Right.
You see? But I have a problem with Meredith because that ball hit him square in the hands.
Right.
And you can tell me you're rusty and everything, but you've been playing pitch and catch on the sidelines, even if you haven't been running everything full blast.
Right, I get it, and I'm not ready to cut the guy off because
me either, but I'm just saying
but it is a little, believe me, when I looked the number up because I didn't realize who it was, I did do, oh, man, not him.
Yeah.
But he's been injured. He's slowly coming back. He started on the active roster.
So might
roster.
He be one of those players?
Might be. Hey, it's 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. When we come back in hour two, we can talk more Saints football. Don't go anywhere. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, boy, don't waste time to